blame COVID for the changes that we see in the world with regards Christmas, because there have been changes coming for many years. And this is kind of not your regular Christmas message. This is the Christmas protest message, because I, for one, am sick of what they're turning Christmas into. Is anybody with me? You know, I think we've got to get back to what Christmas actually is, which is about Jesus. So let's have a quick think about what Christmas has evolved into. We've bemoaned over many years the commercialization of Christmas, haven't we? How many times have you said Christmas is so commercial now? Have you ever said that? Yes, because it really is so commercial. It started with a guy in a red suit, and then they started replacing Christ with X. Remember that? Xmas. And even now Christians are using Xmas. I won't use Xmas because I don't replace Christ with anything, let alone an X, even if that marks the spot. So Xmas, we're using Xmas instead of Christmas. Now they're telling us you can't even say Merry Christmas for fear of offending Muslims, Hindus and atheists. And it has to be Happy Holiday. Who thought that up? What a stupid idea. Yeah, you notice there's no restrictions about Ramadan or Deepavali, because the Hindus can have their festival and call it what they like, the Muslims can have their festival and call it what they like, but they won't let us call Christmas Christmas anymore. Isn't that interesting? We've complained for years that Christmas is just too commercial. That is, you know, that the name of Jesus isn't everywhere in Christmas. It's all gone commercial. You know, it's about the money. It's about not offending people. It's about, you know, we have to not offend everybody in the world except Christians. They're the only groups that the world is allowed to offend now. Have you noticed that? They can offend us, but we can't offend anybody. And I was reading also earlier today, the Big W doesn't sell Christmas trees anymore. They sell pine, grand pine trees and white forest trees because they've taken the name Christmas out of their trees. This is Big W, just down the road here, for fear that it offends people. Christmas trees offend people, apparently. Well, I'm sorry, that offends me. I'm sick of it. Do they know it's Christmas time at all, to quote a song? But hey, do you really want retailers invoking the name of Jesus to sell their goods? Think about that. Come and celebrate the birth of Jesus with an ice cold Vic. Doesn't work, does it? Or, you know, Jesus would have bought a Jeep. Now, look, you all know the Christmas story, but we don't want to, you know, inject Jesus into it. We've got to get back to Jesus being the central part of the Christmas story. Is that right? The Christmas story is essentially this. God gave the best of heaven as a gift to buy back our souls from death. Jesus came that first Christmas, not as a king, but as a baby. And as the song says, he was meek and mild. He started life as a baby because God became man. We know that he grew into a man and he gave his life and rose from the dead. But at Christmas, we remember the first part of Jesus' redemptive plan, which was actually coming to earth as a person, as a man. And the world, for the most part, has tried to cloud and distort this message with tinsels and sails and family times and fat guys in red suits and all that sort of stuff. But in its essence, the message of Christmas is that God became man and he came to save our souls. And I'm sick. I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely over the world claiming all the stuff that's rightfully ours. Aren't you? I'm sick of it. They want to murder babies and sick people and call it mercy. They want to take our rainbow, the promise of God in the sky, and turn it into something about gays and lesbians. And they refuse to let us mention Christ at Christmas, even in our own country. They even try to outlaw the name of Christmas for fear that it might offend. Well, I'm offended now at the fact that they think I might offend them by using the word Christmas. And I believe it's time to win this word back. Are you with me? Yes. It's time to take our, you know, I remember, I don't know if you're a movie buff or not, but there was a movie with Harrison Ford where it was at Air Force One. Anybody see that movie? And he's got the bad guys and they're hanging on by a thread. And he says, you know, give me back my plane. And he punches him and he goes, you know, flies into the air, into the night somewhere. But that's what I feel. Give me back our Christmas, eh? We want our Christmas back. So what I thought I'd do this morning is look at Christmas as an acronym to sort of discover what the message really means. So, oh, that's amazing, isn't it? Christmas is banned. It offends Muslims. I'm so offended by that. That is from the Daily Express in the UK. So let's look at Christmas as an acronym. C is for Christ. You see, Christmas is not about Santa. It's not about presents. It's not about family. It's about what? It's about Jesus Christ. The first Christmas was not a random event. It had been planned by God from before time. And God knew that we would be sinners. And he knew that we would need a Savior. And so he sent his Son to redeem us or buy us back from hell. If you've got a Bible there, open to John chapter 1 verse 14. If you've got this memorized, good for you. It says this, and the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Son of the Father, became flesh for us. He became a person for us. And this baby lying in a manger that we celebrate at Christmas is God in the flesh. But of course, he didn't remain a baby for long. Before long, he grew into a perfect man. And then he chose to lay his perfectly sinless life down for us to buy our souls back from hell. That's the ultimate Christmas present. Jesus is the present. He's the Christmas present. He's what it's all about. So the first C in Christmas is for Christ. The second letter is the letter H, which is for the Holy Spirit. You see, God is Trinity. We believe that God is the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They all exist at the same time, but they are separate people, but they're all the same. Can you get your head around that? Doesn't matter. People have been trying for centuries to figure it out. Don't figure it out. Just accept it, because God is God. John 3:16 is a beautiful... How many of you know John 3:16? The most famous verse in the whole Bible. And it says this, for God, the Father, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There's the Father and the Son together. What about the Holy Spirit? Because H is for Holy Spirit. If you look in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 35, it says this, and Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? How will I conceive? She said, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. See, the Holy Spirit was the one. God is one. He is three persons. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the H for Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit is the one through whom which the Son of God was conceived in Mary's womb. That's the H. What about the next letter? R. R is for redemption. You see, the whole Christmas story is about redemption. What is redemption? We'll look at that in a second. Galatians 3 verse 13 says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So because we had sinned, there was a curse upon us, and Christ redeemed us. What does that mean? The word redeemed there are several Greek words for redemption. They all mean roundabout the same. That particular word used in that passage is exagorazo, which means to buy back, to buy up, to ransom, or to rescue from loss. And the image that it's trying to sort of portray there is the image of a slave who has no rights, who has lost everything, who is poor and downtrodden, and they're just a slave in chains. And the image there is that someone comes in, says, how much do I have to pay to set this slave free? The slave could never pay that amount of money. He has no money. And this person buys that person back or redeems them. They pay the money and sets that slave free from a grim fate. That's what the word redeem means. And that's what Jesus has done. That's what Christmas is about. We are all destined to hell and unable to save ourselves. But God sent the best of heaven, his one and only Son, to die in our place and to pay the price for our sin. We should be dying. We should be the ones who die. But he died in our place that we might have life. Isn't that a cool present? That's the ultimate present. He brought every one of us back from the consequences of our sin, which is death and hell. So that's what redeem means. He's brought us back. We were lost, but he brought us back. The I, the next letter is I, and it's for Emmanuel. Centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ, Isaiah prophesied this in Isaiah 7:14. It's repeated in Matthew 1:23. Listen to this. Isaiah said this, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You thought Emmanuel was just a school, didn't you? But it's not just a school. Emmanuel actually means God with us. So with apologies to Bette Midler, any Bette Midler fans here? No, not really. Well, with apologies, God is not watching us from a distance. God is with us. If you don't know God, he's watching from a distance. But if you know him, he's with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. He's right here. He lives in our hearts. He lives in the hearts of those who love him. And that promise is fulfilled in Christmas. See, God is not far away and distant and detached. Some of you here have grown up thinking God's just far away, looking down on you. You know, sitting up there all holy and all this sort of stuff, and he's looking at you a long way away and letting you just ruin your life or something. That's not true. If you ask, he can be right, not only right beside you, right within you. By the Holy Spirit. Acts 17 verse 27 says this. They should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. You see, you have a unique opportunity here today to ask Jesus Christ into your life. And he can be not only not far from you, he can be right with you. He can be part of you. That's what Jesus is about. James 4 verse 8 says this. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So this is the thing. If you want to draw near to God, he will draw near to you. I can attest that. That's what my life is like. There have been times when I've wandered away. And some of you here, you might even be Christians, but you just wander away. How many of you know you get stale after a while? How many of you know sometimes you just get busy doing other things and you wander away. But when you come back to the Lord, he is there willing and able to draw near to you. If you draw near to him, man, he's on it. He will draw near to you. Like the prodigal returning home to the father, he's ready to race out and grab you in his arms and say, welcome home. See, today, this Christmas, God is with us and he waits for you to respond to his wonderful gift. He longs to be close to you at Christmas time. It's our opportunity. This period of time, Christmas, is our moment, our opportunity to reconnect with God and be closer to him than ever. So I guess the question is, how are you going to respond to that? The next letter is the letter S, which of course is for salvation. Jesus is about giving, is about being God's gift to you, because through him and only through him, you can be saved from the penalty of your sins. See, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is that you? Yes. Is it me? Yes. You know, every person sins. Sin is when we dishonor God and we disrespect him and we live like we are our own boss. Sin is not just doing bad things, it's rebellion against God. Some people say a loving God will never send people to hell. That's not true. A holy God must send people to hell. In fact, all of us should go to hell. But here's the good news, that he has opened the way, he has brought us back so that we don't have to face the consequences of our sin. You know, someone was talking to someone yesterday, a question came up. Do people of certain sexual orientations go to hell? The answer is yes. So do you. So do I. We're all destined to hell unless Jesus Christ buys us back. That's what it's about. We're all destined. You can't say this person or that person's going to hell and that one's not. We're all destined to hell. But the great news is, the gospel is that Jesus Christ buys us back. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For our sakes he made him who knew no sin to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God. And that's the incredible thing about salvation. We can't save ourselves, but he can save us. It's beyond us, but he can save us. I mentioned this a little earlier in the year, but I'll do it again. How many of you would like a free trip to New Zealand? They're going to be in the bubble here. There won't be any virus stuff, you know. A free trip to New Zealand. Are you in? It's brilliant. All you got to do is come down to Mooloolaba with me and start swimming. It's all you got to do. Free trip to New Zealand. But the thing is, of course, some of you might be good swimmers. You might make it a mile or two, but none of you is going to make it to New Zealand because it's just way beyond us. And that's what salvation is like. You can be a good person. You can be a nice guy. But if you die without Jesus Christ, you're the nicest guy in hell because that's where you're going. We can't save ourselves. Only he can save us. It's beyond us, but he can save us. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about giving, because God gave the greatest Christmas gift of all by sending his son to lay his life down, substituting himself in our place, dying for you and me. That's the greatest Christmas gift of all. Are we destined to hell? Yes, unless we ask Jesus into our life. Then we're destined for eternity with him. The T in Christmas is Thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, but I think ungratefulness is probably the biggest sin of the Western world, don't you? I'm reading about all these countries where they're having lockdown and people are starving and people are broke and all this sort of. Our version of lockdown, we all went down to Bunnings and planted a veggie patch. I mean, we're so hard up in Australia. It's tough being an Aussie, you know? We live in the greatest country on earth, yet we are so not thankful, aren't we? Is that true? We just whinge and complain and want more. We're so ungrateful. But we need to have a thankfulness in our spirit this Christmas. Because God has redeemed us. He's brought us back from death. Colossians 3 verse 17 says this, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." When's the last time you gave thanks to the Lord for something in your life? It's so easy to find the faults. It's so easy to find stuff we don't like. But why don't we give thanks for what we do have? And Christmas is a great time to give thanks. This Christmas, we should thank God for what? There's so many blessings. We thank you for our family, friends, our church. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for our state that is relatively virus-free. We should thank you for his provision, his protection, and his promises. I think Christmas is a great time to replace stinking thinking with a gratitude attitude and be thankful for what God has given us. So when you sit down to your Christmas lunch, how many of you have a Christmas lunch planned with people you love? Many of you, when you sit down to that, give thanks, because some folks don't have anybody, and some in some places they don't even have any food. So we should be thankful for what we've got. So we're up to, we've got Christ, we've got MAS to go. M is for mission. See, Christmas is the first phase of God's divine mission to save mankind. We love to clutter Christmas up with presents and good feelings and fat guys in red suits and that sort of stuff. But the fact is that Christmas is all about God's mission. Jesus' mission to come to earth. It's a divine rescue mission. It's incredible. It's like, you know, you might look at the condition of mankind and think it's mission impossible. Dun, 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 dun. But it's, the Bible says with God all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. So even this horrible situation, the situation we have ourselves in around the world with the sin and just the debauchery that's going on, nothing is impossible for God. You might think that you've sinned too much and God's not interested in you. That is not true. Because whatever you've done, I don't care whatever you've said, whoever you've hurt, whatever you have taken part in, nothing has power over the blood of Jesus. And he shed his blood for you and for me. Everybody's worth saving. If you ask him into your life today, the great news is he will buy you back the same way he's bought the rest of us back. And you can spend eternity with him. John 15:13, greater love, Jesus said, has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That was Jesus' mission. Jesus didn't come to start a Christmas revolution. He didn't come to give presents or institute a holiday. He came with a mission of saving this world. I don't know, getting back on movies, but do you like superhero movies? I mean, everybody likes superhero movies, apart from some of the ladies who think that they're, you know, crass and worthless, and they're probably right. But I tell you, before Superman, Batman, Spider-Man and Iron Man was Son of Man. You know, God who became man to lay his life down for his friends. And he calls us his friends. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 says this, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Writes Paul, and I echo those statements. Jesus Christ came into this world to lay his life down to save me and to save you and to save everyone who turns to him. And when you think of the life of Jesus, all the miracles, all the prophecies, all the wise words, all the parables, all the awesome things he did, nothing distracted him from his main mission, which was to lay his life down for you and for me, to save our souls from an eternity separated from God. Which leads me to my next letter, which is acceptance. See, God wants us all to accept the free gift of his love and salvation today. All we have to do is accept it. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." See, God wants every person to repent, and he gives us as much time as he possibly can to repent. That's what he wants. God wants us all to ask his forgiveness and invite his Christmas gift of Jesus Christ into their life. But you can't receive eternal life until you accept what Jesus has done and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10 verse 9 says this, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So I don't care who you are, folks. You can try success. You can try relationships. You can try drugs, alcohol, sex. You can try yoga, voodoo, Islam, tradition, even church-based religion. None of those things can save you. The only thing that can save you is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's all it takes. But it's so easy to do. The greatest gift of all is eternal life. It's offered freely to you at Christmas. You haven't got to earn it. You can't earn it. You just have to accept it. If I'm giving you a gift, two things have to happen. One, I have to decide to give it. If I decide to hold on to it, you won't get it. I'll keep it. And God has already decided to give this gift to you. But the second thing that has to happen for that gift to finish up in your hands is for you to accept it. If I offer you a gift and you say, nope, you won't get it. And all over the world, even at Christmas time, people are saying no, when they need to be saying yes and accepting the gift that God is giving to them at Christmas. You see, the thing is, some gifts are harder to accept than others, aren't they? Have you ever noticed that? Like, for example, if I came to you and I said, I've got this really cool Christmas gift I want to give you, and you open it up and it's a book on dieting, or it's a book on selfishness, overcoming selfishness. I thought of you, and this, I got you this gift. How would you feel? You know, I mean, think about it. Accepting those sorts of gifts is hard because you, in doing so, you have to admit that you have flaws. Basically, that you're fat and obnoxious, but that's your flaws, you know. It's hard to accept a gift like that. And that is why arrogant, self-sufficient people don't want to accept God's free gift of his son. See, to accept Jesus as your Savior, you have to humble yourself and admit that you're a sinner. And we're all sinners. I remember I forget which child it was, so I won't pick on Tara. But with one of our kids, you know, I wanted to get them to say their first word, and I knew their first word had to be daddy. So, all, you know, coach them all the day when Fiona wasn't looking. You know, say daddy, 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 daddy. And of course, when the child finally spoke, what was the first word? No. It was no. I wish it was, Mum, but it wasn't. It was no. The first word was like, no. And I realized I had a little sinner on my hands like everybody else. You don't have to teach a child to be bad. You have to teach them to be good, don't you? Because we have a natural talent for bad. And I think that, you know, this is why people have trouble accepting Jesus. They don't want to look at themselves and humble themselves and say, you know what, I need a Savior. They want to do it all themselves. But if you admit that, you know, I mean, in our country, most people believe in God. Many accept the Christmas story, but they refuse the gift himself because accepting him makes them confront the truth that they are sinners, enslaved by their passions and trusting their own way instead of Jesus' way. But you cannot be saved this morning except by accepting Jesus into your life. That's a really important letter. You have to accept him in your life to be saved. Most people try and bargain with God. Well, I don't want to give you my life, but I'd like to be saved. Well, I'm sorry, you can't bargain on this one. You ever seen people down the marketplace trying to do deals and bargain with people? You can't bargain on this one. You either accept him or you don't. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He's the only way, and you need to accept him. And it entails you giving all of your life to him and allowing him to direct and change you. The final letter is S, sanctification. Now, that's a big word. Sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23 says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the word sanctification is the Greek word hagatzio, which means to make holy, to cleanse, to purify, or to separate from impure things. You see, salvation takes just a moment. You ask Jesus into your life and you can be assured that you are saved. However, sanctification takes a lifetime. And Jesus loves you so much, he will save you just where you are. That old Billy Graham song, "Just as I am." He loves you so much, you don't have to reach a certain standard to come to him this morning. You don't have to, stack up more good than bad. Doesn't matter what you've ever done in your life. I've led people who've committed murder to Christ. See, no sin is too bad. He can save you. He loves you. He saves you just the way you are, with all of your sin and your hang-ups and all the dark, dirty deeds and thoughts you've ever had. He saves you just as you are. He loves you that much. But he also loves you so much, he doesn't keep you there. See, when you come to him and you ask him into your life and you're saved for all eternity, he then starts the sanctification process, which is your life being transformed and holiness coming out of your life and you becoming a different person, living a life that is worth living. People say to me, "Oh, I don't want to be a Christian. You guys are boring and straight and drab." Man, I'm telling you, Christian life is the greatest life there is. I wouldn't swap it for anything. I don't think I'm boring. You might. I don't. Being a Christian is the most exciting life that you can possibly have. It really is. It's so much more exciting. If you think sin's fun, try holiness. It is incredible. And you never have to look over your shoulder to see if anyone's watching. Because holiness is holiness. But we don't get there in one go. I would love to get saved and bam, I become the greatest, most godly man in the world. But it takes a little bit of time. Still working on it. We heard last week, as Josh shared, that faith should have a changed life. And that's the sanctification process. But the Holy Spirit comes into your life to change you. That's the Christmas message. He wants to save you. And he doesn't want to leave you there, but he wants you to live the greatest life ever. So my cry this morning in this little act of protest is to give us back our Christmas. I saw this slide. I thought this was really cute. I know who wins that. See, Christmas is not some cute old story. It's not some covert fundamentalist plot to distort young minds. It's not an excuse to have a sale. Christmas is God's salvation mission led by his Son, empowered by his Spirit, that starts at Christmas and later finishes at Easter. And it not only saves us for all eternity, it saves us to live powerful and victorious lives right now. And we want our Christmas back. Don't tell me that you're offended by Christmas. I don't care. You can call it whatever you like, but I'm calling it Christmas. And the rest of the world will say, we can't speak about Christmas in schools for offending people. They want to sell us the lie that it's all about family times and good feelings and sales and stuff. But I want our Christmas back. Our Christmas is about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. All the other stuff is just trimming on a tree. That's why I want to take, they want to take Jesus out of Christmas because they are frightened about what one man, one woman, one church would do if they really got a handle on what it was like to live Christmas every day, God with us. And they're terrified of that. And trust me, over these coming years, with the stuff that's going through, the legislation going through in Victoria and will come up here, there is going to be a showdown between those who proclaim the word of God and those who want them not to proclaim the word of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the glass half full and not half empty. I'm going to believe that this is going to be a moment for us to shine. People are worried at the moment that in this coming year, Christians are going to get, well, say persecuted, but make it more persecuted. And I'm not worried because every significant move of God gets persecuted. Look at the church in China. They don't mind the persecution because what it does is it gives them a strength to trust in the Lord no matter what. So God's Christmas gift to you is a Savior. Christmas is the promise. Easter is the proof. But they all form part of a divine plan to bring eternal life to you. Listen to this as I wrap it up. If our greatest need as people had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, He would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and so God sent us a Savior. How good is that? John 3:16, let me read it again, and following verses. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So my question to you this morning is, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, will you do it right now? There'll never be a better moment. This is the craziest year on record. This is the year that everyone's going to look back on as a hallmark of humanity through the ages. Why not give your heart to Jesus at Christmas 2020? You can look back and say, that might have been a sucky year, but hey, it finished with me getting eternal life. Wouldn't that be cool? The opportunity is here. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head as we wrap it up before we go to groups. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, this is your moment. This is the moment when you can say, Lord, I give my life to You. You won't face eternity in hell. You'll be able to live a life of victory. It's an incredible walk. It's the greatest life that you could possibly know. But Jesus Christ came to earth that first Christmas with a mission, and the mission was to save you, to lay His life down and die in your place. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, or maybe you did a long time ago and you're not sure, maybe you're at church saying, well, I kind of did, I'm not really sure, maybe I did a long while ago, this is your moment. I'm going to ask you, if you've never asked Him into your life, or if you're not sure if you're going to heaven, let this be the moment, the greatest Christmas gift of all on this crazy year. Ask Jesus into your life. Just say these words with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I've sinned and that I've done my own thing. But right now, Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive my sin. I ask You into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And thank You for welcoming me into Your eternal family. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'm just going to ask you to shoot your hand up and put it down wherever you are. Just give me a wave. Just give you a few moments. We're not going to ask you out the front or anything, but just we want to get some literature and stuff to you. If you prayed that prayer, some of you are saying, well, I prayed it and I don't want to own up to it. That's okay. As long as God knows, I can live with that. But I also want to give those of you who know the Lord the opportunity to give Him a Christmas present. This is an incredible moment for all of us Christians as well. He gave us the ultimate Christmas present. He laid His life down for us. And I just think of the words of that old hymn, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And that is a Christmas gift worth giving to the Savior, isn't it? After all, it's His birthday, not yours. We should be giving Him the gift. So I want to encourage you, as we finish up this year, as we move into what we hope will be a better year, this is the moment to give it all to Him. Maybe you've prayed this before, but you haven't lived it out. Maybe you haven't prayed it before. But I'm going to give you the opportunity to say, Lord, I want to give it all to You. My soul, my life, my all. Let's join together and say this at this Christmas time and give Jesus the ultimate Christmas gift. Our whole lives. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. But right now, Lord, I give You my soul. I give You my life. I give You my all. Everything I have, everything I own, everyone I love, every dream I have for the future, every fear I struggle with. I give it all to you, Lord. And I say, have your way. Lord, I know you've spoken to many hearts here this morning. We just want to give you our lives, Lord God. Lock, stock, and smoking barrel. We want to give you our lives, Lord God. Everything we have, everything we are, everything we dream of. We just lay it at your feet and we say, Lord, use us. Use us to win our community to Christ. Use us to stand for what is true and right in a crazy world that's just gone off the rails. Lord, use us to proclaim your message to our nation, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas to you.